seconds. One time for the underdog. One time for the underdog. Ignition sequence start.
Let me see you put 'em up. Reach the sky, touch the stars up above. 'Cause it's one time for the underdog. One time for the underdog.
You're listening to the Valuetainment Podcast, where we discuss various strategies that will help you scale your business to the next level. I'm your host, Patrick Bedivin, and today I want to talk to you about, can Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, do something as a CEO to prevent Twitter from becoming the next MySpace? In this, I'm speaking to two different audiences. One is the Valuetainer, the entrepreneur that follows Valuetainment for content around entrepreneurship. The other one is an individual. He's a CEO of Twitter, founder of Twitter and Square, billionaire, recognized by MIT, by educators, and by entrepreneurs around the world, Jack Dorsey. Jack, if you're watching this video, I have one intention with this video. I want to make sure the world knows how valuable this brand is, but I also want to make sure this does not become the next Yahoo and the next MySpace, because one thing I could tell you on what happened with Yahoo, interesting stat on what happened with Yahoo, everybody. Yahoo, in February of 2008, during the most terrible time financially we've experienced in America the last 50 years, Steve Ballmer from Microsoft offered to buy Yahoo for $45 billion on February of 08, I believe. And Yahoo said no, and a few years later, Yahoo ends up being bought by Verizon for $4.8 billion just 3 months ago, from $45 billion to 4.8, a very big difference. And we know what happened on MySpace. MySpace went out of business. Even though I thought MySpace was a lot nicer, cleaner. Facebook had nothing going on initially. Facebook took off. MySpace didn't. They ended up being going out of business, and somebody bought them for $25-35 million. I think Justin Timberlake and few investors. So today in this video, I'm going to cover four different things. One is why the world needs Twitter. Simple as that. I'm going to cover my points with you on why the world needs Twitter. Two, can it be saved? Three, why no one is buying it, some of the people that are interested, why no one is buying it, and then what Twitter needs to do as a strategy moving forward to increase the value of Twitter. And I'm gonna cover with that with you at the end, so you wanna watch this entire video. So let me get right into it on why I believe this is a very, very needed business and company to be around, and why I don't think there's nothing like it, like MySpace and Yahoo, but it needs to be sold properly. Let me explain to you why I love Twitter. Think about it this way. Anytime, this is point number one, anytime I see a controversial topic that's taking place, Hillary, Trump, Hillary, Bernie Sanders, Director Comey, Stephen A. Smith debate over a certain athlete, and car comes out, there's some challenge that happens with a new Tesla, are they going to be able to deliver, any single controversial social issue, pro-life, pro-choice, any major issue that happens, earthquakes, disasters in the Middle East, it doesn't matter. Anything I want to hear both sides of the argument, I go straight to Twitter. You know why? Here's why. When's the last time you saw somebody post 50 different messages on Facebook in 5 minutes? You don't see that happening. And the last time you saw somebody doing that on Facebook, what did you call them? That's weird. What is wrong with this obsessive person? Do you know what happens if you send 50 messages in 5 minutes on Twitter? They just call you a Twitter user. There's nothing wrong with that. And somebody can be watching that. So if you want to hear both arguments, Twitter does a very good job on that. Second thing, for breaking news, I go to Twitter. It's immediate. Breaking news. And I want to hear what the audience is saying about it. Breaking news, such and such passed away. Breaking news, this company's in the breaks of a collapse. Breaking news, election. Breaking news, sports. Breaking news, trade. Breaking news, LeBron leaving. Breaking news. Everything is breaking news. That's the second point with Twitter, why we need it. Three is tracking trends. Doesn't matter what word I'm looking for. A lot of people tend to go to Google. I like to go to Twitter because actively I want to see, are people talking about this word? Who's using this word? What are they saying about this word? What word is trending? Twitter tells us what word is trending. Next one, customer service. There's a lot of times where, I remember one time I was in Las Vegas and I stayed at a hotel, I wasn't happy about the service. So I tweeted, I am not happy about how long it's taken for me to get service at this hotel and the fact that they put me in a smoking room, even though I told them I'm not smoking. Immediately, I got a response from another hotel, Caesars, that said, we apologize about your experience in Las Vegas here. Give us a message. We'd love to make up your weekend and give you a show. I went to Caesars. I stayed over there. It was a great experience. Why customer service on Twitter? You get to find out what type of customer service different companies give on Twitter. Next, following a celebrity. So People Magazine today is done. Twitter has become the new People Magazine, but Twitter needs to learn how to sell it as a People Magazine. Next, short, 140 characters. It's like reading a short blog. So if I'm busy, I need to go somewhere, Twitter's a great place. Let me see it, I'm good, I'm gone. I got what I needed to get. Outreach to people interested in your product. For instance, if you're selling a product that is tailored to people who have many pets and have many dogs, and your product is the fact that your dog is itching themselves so much where all of a sudden they're hurting themselves, they're bleeding, they're, you know, because they're itching themselves too much. That product can help the person that owns a pet to say, listen, we don't want your dog to go through this. You search those words, you respond to that owner, the owner says, I'll try your product, they try your product, and then now you have a customer you would have never had. You can't do that on Facebook, you can do that on Twitter. Very powerful for small businesses. Traffic to site, marketing, branding, there's just a lot of benefits why Twitter needs to be around. We just need to see if Twitter wants to be fat, like this Twitter bird that I made here, instead of being skinnier, and evaluation keep getting smaller and smaller and smaller. So now, let's talk about some stats with Twitter, some numbers that all of us kind of need to know about. How big is Twitter? What is going on with Twitter right now? Twitter has roughly 3,900 employees, give or take. Quarter one of 2016, they did roughly $600 million. Last time they turned in a profit was Q4 of 2015. Their share is roughly right now $18. I think in 13 they were at $69, $68 a share. They were worth around $40 billion. If they wanted to sell today, the rumor has it they're asking for 15. You know, some will probably be willing to pay 5 to 8 billion today. Market says 8 to 12 billion. But if they want to sell today, 5 to 8 billion dollars, maybe someone's going to be willing to pay for that. Now, here's what happens. If that's the case, how come they're not selling? The following companies recently publicly came out and they said they're not interested. Obviously, some of the rumors came out. They're trying to protect Twitter. But it's been on the market for some time, according to a lot of different publications you read. Google and Disney on October 5th, they said they're not interested. Apple said we were never interested on October 6th. And Salesforce said on October 14th, we're not interested. Okay, we're not interested. That's what they said. So a lot of times people are watching Twitter and they're saying, what is Twitter? That's the biggest question. So what is Twitter? Is Twitter more like MySpace? Is it more like Facebook? Is it more like Yahoo? What is Twitter? I don't know what Twitter is. Is Twitter a data collecting company? Is it a news, or what is Twitter? Is Twitter a news organization? Is it becoming more of a media type of a company? What is Twitter? By the way, Jack, by the way, Twitter, that's actually not bad. There needs to be identified what Twitter is, because most people really don't know what Twitter is and what Twitter is needed for. Once that is identified, the buyer is identified, and knowing how to pitch to the buyer is identified. Just recently, Twitter shut down Vine, and they didn't really announce why they shut it down, but they shut it down. Probably a smart move they did, because, you know, Instagram, Snapchat, and they themselves with Twitter, all the old videos will stay on Vine. They just cannot upload any new videos. So while you're looking at all this stuff and you're looking at numbers, you're thinking, man, so what's going to happen to Twitter? Twitter's really going to go out of business? I think if sometimes in a marketplace, when you put a house on the market for price, and you wait 3 months, 6 months, people come see it, but they make an offer way below, or the house doesn't sell. 12 months later, guess what people start asking? There's something wrong with the house. So there's a few different things. Either there's some unsafe things that's going on in the community we don't know about. There's something really messed up in the house physically that we don't know about. When we inspect, maybe we'll find out. Maybe the school and around the community just got downgraded. There was a shooting in school, something we don't know about. Maybe it's just overly priced. Maybe it's just too optimistic. Maybe it's just the area now is terrible because crimes have gone up. We don't know what it is. But there's a reason why for 12 months that house hasn't sold. It's never no reason. There's a reason. And you know what sometimes the best thing to do? Sometimes the best thing to do is to take your house off the market, come back, fix it up, and then bring it back to the market 12 months later. And many times you may not even bring it back to the market if you do it right. I think Twitter needs to go off the market. And Twitter needs to have a strategy session. And they need to put a team together of people that sees it from a different perspective. A lot of times, a person like Jack was running Twitter, when you're doing well and everybody is telling you how amazing you are with your mind, kind of like how I did earlier, the difficulty, we have to live up to that expectation. And when we live to that expectation, there's so much pressure that we forget what it meant to be open-minded. We fully forget it. We forget what it is to be open-minded, and we start having holes. It's like a general that's always known for being the most incredible general in the world, and they become so big and so good, And then all of a sudden, they start thinking that everybody's expecting them to be perfect, and they stop asking one question. What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? And they start doing everything themselves. They don't ask their team about, well, what do you think? Then they get caught. Then they get hit because they're not on the marketplace. They've been distant. They get shot. Then they lose 2,000 soldiers. Sometimes they lose the battle. And eventually, at sometimes, you lose the war as well. So I fully get where the position Jack is at. And it's very important to sit down and see if somebody else's perspective on what can happen, because I fully believe not only is this thing savable, this thing can be valued extremely high. And there's one buyer. I guarantee you no one's even thinking about this one buyer to sell to. And I am telling you, this one group, the buyer, desperately needs this. Desperately needs this. I'm not saying by a little bit. They desperately need to buy this brand. Desperately need to buy this brand. So now, stats, arguments to make for Twitter. What are some of the stats? Right now in the marketplace, we have 7.5 billion people on Earth, say 7.2 billion people. 2.1 billion consider themselves active on social media. What does this number mean to anything? When Coca-Cola brought the CEO, Roberto Guizeta, Cuban immigrant that came to Coca-Cola at a time where Pepsi and Coke were competing, and Pepsi came out with that one initiative that which tastes better, all that stuff, and people were saying Pepsi passed them up. Roberto Guizeta came and said, what a small thinker. Why are you guys only focused on beating Pepsi on Coca-Cola? Let's see what people consume. And he asked, what do people drink every day? And they said, what do you mean? What do people drink every day? We're a Coke company. I know, but what do people drink every day? Well, they drink 16% this. They drink 30% water. They drink this much milk. They drink this much. They have alcohol. They have this. They have that. He started buying companies like that, Dasani, Minute Maid. He started buying those companies because he said, I want to get 100% of consumption of whatever kind of liquid goes in here. I want that. I think Twitter needs to start looking at 2.1 billion people that are actively on social media. What ways can we pull, and what is their motivation to want to use Twitter to increase them benefit, happiness, joy, whatever it is. That's the case on what to do with that 2.1 billion people. Now, continuing, one of the good news is with Twitter is the market that Twitter is doing very well in is 12 to 24 ages, which 32% is Instagram. Twitter has 24% of the marketplace during that age, 12 to 24. Facebook's 14%, Snapchat's 13%, Tumblr's 4%. Facebook's dropped. You don't meet a lot of 14-year-olds talking Facebook. They talk Twitter and Instagram more than they do Facebook. This is good because it's future, but that needs to be so, because 10 years from now, Twitter has a market that's going to be aging at 24. They're still somewhat connected to Facebook. I'm 38. I'm emotionally connected to Facebook because when I was 28, I was using Facebook. So I've aged. I've grown up with Facebook, but because I'm in this, you know, space of social media, I need to learn how to adjust. Not everybody does. Let's continue. Numbers-wise, according to a CMO survey, Chief Marketing Officer survey, they have said in the next 5 years, companies are going to double, more than double their marketing budget from 11% to 24% that they're going to use. Increase of how much they're going to invest on social media. Not TV, not print, social media. What does this mean? A chunk of it can go here. This is an argument. A chunk of it can go there, but you need to have a strategy on how to get the chunk of it on there. I can go on with a couple other stats to give you, but I'm going to get to the most important stats here. Again, all of this is getting somewhere on a point that I want to make. 83% of world's leaders are on Twitter. 83% of world's leaders are on Twitter. I will tell you right now that if Donald Trump ends up becoming a president, if Donald Trump, whether you like him or not, if Trump ends up becoming a president, whether he does or not, he ended up becoming a Republican nominee by beating out 16 other candidates. And then he ends up going against Hillary and is able to get it that close where he's got a fighting chance to beat Hillary. The question would be, what percentage of the influence has to do with Twitter? Think about it. People always make fun of him and say, oh, he's so Twitter friendly, and he goes on there, oh my gosh, he's like a little kid. And he says, look, it's all about media, and Twitter's a big platform. Donald Trump endorses Twitter. Jack, whether you like him or not, it doesn't matter. He endorses the usage of Twitter, and because he's a better user of Twitter, he's got a shot at becoming a president. What if the influence of Twitter was 5%, 10%, 15%? Take Twitter out. You think he has the same amount of opportunity to go viral? I don't know about that. I think Twitter's got a very big play with world leaders. There's something there for the argument that I'm going to make if I were to meet with the board of Twitter on what I would be doing. Next, journalists make up 24.6% of verified accounts on Twitter. What does that mean to Twitter? Well, Twitter, there's leverage. Journalists need you. If you go out of business, they're hurt. That is a very, very big selling point, because journalists get a job by being, having followers and writing contents worth reading. And one of the places they go to is Twitter. Katy Perry's the biggest, has the most biggest Twitter following with 87 million people there. You know, Twitter, the biggest, you know, challenge that Twitter gets is they got 310 million active users, Twitter does, but they got 1.3 billion accounts that have been created, which is, you know, too many fake accounts on Twitter, way too many fake accounts on Twitter that hurts the reputation, that Twitter needs to make a move on that side. So again, I can go on with a lot of other stats here, but let me get into my 4 points with you. Here's my 4 points with you. And it's very simple. One, we need to go do what exactly Instagram did with their users when they purged many of the fake followers in 2014. And you saw Twitter people who had 100,000 people following them. It went all the way down to 17,000. Many, many people did that. And Instagram cleaned house. And then all of a sudden, Instagram was bought out by Facebook. Twitter needs to clean house. It shows authenticity. It shows transparency. It shows transparency to investors and users. You come out and say, we purged. We found that we had 398 million fake accounts. And we want to change Twitter to a transparent Twitter. We've cleaned house. No more fake Twitter accounts. Many numbers have changed. It's completely okay. People are actually going to say, wow, lots of credibility on Twitter. They don't say today. If I see somebody on Twitter right now with 600,000 followers, I don't believe it. I don't believe it because I look at them and it's like, it's fake. It's fake. I don't believe it. 600,000 followers. Something needs to happen with that part of Twitter. Second point, I would find a way to focus on businesses. Listen, businesses are going to spend money. They're going to spend money. And businesses, if you can show them a way to make money, if I spend $10 million with you per month and you're going to show me a way to make $15 million on that $10 million, I'm going to keep doing $10 million with you every month. It's purely math. But show me that my 10 will turn into 15. And there's a way of doing that. There is a way of doing that, but I would put a big focus on businesses if I was Twitter. A big focus on businesses if I was Twitter. Three, you know, I take a play out of Mark Zuckerberg's playbook, and I would tell you what he did. In 2007, I want to say that it is March of 2007, he goes to a Christmas party with a man named Dan, who he meets Sheryl Sandberg there for the first time. And Sheryl at that time, I believe, is getting ready to go to Washington Post, to work for Washington Post. Mark and Sheryl speak for a few minutes, you know, whatever the timeline is. They get along, they hit it off, it's great. They see each other again at another world, you know, political event that's taking place. And again, they hit it off. It's like a connection. March of 08, I want to say, I could be off by a month or two. March of 08, Mark Zuckerberg announces the new chief operating officer is who? Sheryl Sandberg. So Sheryl Sandberg, instead of going to Washington Post, she goes to Facebook. When? At a time where Mark was being crushed on quarterly conference calls saying, Mark, when are you going to make some profits? We want some profits. And Mark doesn't have answers. And said, we're going to figure it out. We're going to figure it out. We're going to figure it out. He finally figures it out. He brings Sheryl Sandberg. Sheryl Sandberg brings some of her, you know, plays on what she had with Google, looks at Facebook, everything that's going on. We need to change this. Boom. Facebook takes off. Facebook's right now worth a few hundred. Mark's worth 60. Sheryl's worth 1.5, give or take. And if she would have gone to Washington Post, this would have never happened. But she came to Facebook. So who gets credit for the turnaround on Facebook, Sheryl or Mark? I think it's Mark, because Mark went actively recruiting for talent like Sheryl to bring in. And then Sheryl gets the credit for coming through, making a play happen. And she wins. And history books are going to favor Sheryl Sandberg. When the history books of Facebook are written later on, I guess what happened for Facebook to be turned around, her name will be on there. She is a Hall of Famer on Facebook forever to come. Jack needs to be doing the same thing. I would be actively recruiting killers in a marketplace to become heroes. When AIG was almost going out of business, they called one man. One man they called. The man was a former CEO of MetLife. He had 3 years to live. I met this guy many, many times. I've had dinner with this man. His name was Bob Ben-Moshe. Bob Ben-Moshe was at his vineyard in Croatia, Dubrovnik, which is a beautiful place. They call him. They say, hey, we need you to come and see if you can do anything with AIG. He says, look, I'm on my deathbed. I got 3 more years to live. I'm enjoying myself. I'm having fun here. No way in the world. But it was sold as you could be possibly the person that saved one of the biggest companies in the world. And the history books are going to talk about you as the CEO that turned everything around for AIG. He thought about it. Talked to his son, made some choices, came back, makes a phone call to the government, gets the money, brings on David Herzog, promotes him from American General. David becomes the CFO. David's brain is an incredible brain. I've had dinner with David. They start working with the government properly. Stop bullying us, government. We're going to pay you back. He takes the company, makes a decision on a few things they need to do. They borrow $183 billion. A few years later, he gives $183 billion back, plus $23 billion in interest, something GM still hasn't done. And the public says, AIG, we forgive you. He saves AIG. Insurance, everything stays on the books. Job stays on the books. Government money is given back. Taxpayers got their money back. And Bob M. Moshe just died. This year, 2016, February, he just died. When we were doing our convention on that Friday night ceremony, he died that night. I think it was in January, late January, first week of February. He passes away. And anybody who ever writes any business books and AIG is written, Bob M. Moshe's name is going to be there. Jack can go get somebody to become a hero for a company like this, and history books will favor them, just like Mark got Sheryl Sandberg. And I have many other ideas. I have three other ideas that are very, very unique ideas that I believe they're proven. I believe it's going to work because both parties will need to do these things. Three ideas. And I have one idea on who we need to go to sell. If I was to sit down with Jack Dorsey and talk to him and his team from Twitter, I would be more than happy to do that because for me, my brain, I look at businesses and I look what things need to be around, especially businesses that I use. I use Twitter. Twitter needs to stick around. This is a product that needs to stick around. And if I can find a way to contribute towards it, I'd love to do it. So with that being said, Valuetainers, couple things. If you agree with any of the video, I need you to tweet Jack. His Twitter account is literally Jack. Dennis, let's put the image so people know it's Jack. And tweet Jack and say, Jack, watch this entire video and meet with Pat. Watch this entire video and meet with Pat. And Jack, if you watch this entire video, it's very easy to get a hold of me. You can find me all over social media. If we hear from you, great. If we don't hear from you, I wish you the best of luck. I truly hope you figure out ways to make it happen. If we can contribute in a way and help go to another level, I'll be more than happy to meet with you and give you some feedback on what we can do with Twitter to get it back up and have this one massive organization that is desperately, desperately interested in this product, desperately interested in this product that you happen to be the CEO of Twitter. Thanks everybody for listening. And by the way, if you haven't already subscribed to Valuetainment on iTunes, please do so. Give us a 5-star, write a review if you haven't already. And if you have any questions for me that you may have, you can always find me on Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. Just search my name, Patrick Bit-David. And I actually do respond back when you snap me or send me a message on Instagram. With that being said, have a great day today. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.